So you think that this situation, Schopenhauer's ideas, that it relates to Staudinger's situation?
Yes, yes. It's only one thought, one idea of Schopenhauer. It's not his principal idea. He says it with respect of his own work. Nobody was reading his main work, Die Welt als Wille und Vorstellung. Mm-hmm. And der Verleger could not do something better than to einstampfen all the die ganze Auflage.
Oh, I see. They had to can it, sort of. He couldn't sell it.
He couldn't sell it.
I can see that your philosophical background, your interest in philosophy comes through in your approach to science, which is something very valuable. There's a lot of depth in your approach to it.
When I heard that you would come, I read all my works, which I took out of the long series and said they are perhaps of some value. And I had the idea in each work that it was very well founded. Mm-hmm. All I did, the sedimentation of macromolecules, the flow by refringence, it's in the publication very complete and very detailed expressed. Mm-hmm. And that's perhaps what I learned from philosophy.
From philosophy.
Yes.
Now, in your work, we're gradually getting to your work,
but the
influence of Staudinger in the beginning is obviously very strong. And could you relate your beginnings, the beginning of your professional work, with what you did for Staudinger? Your first publication was on polyoxymethylenes.
Yes, yes, yes. And that was a very fine work for me. I consider myself as, musst du mir sagen, was das ist?
Your influence of Staudinger on
polyoxymethylene.
Yes.
There was the idea of all other scientists, these are particles with a great surface, and there is something adsorbed on the surface, so that the content of formaldehyde is not 100%, but less.
Mm-hmm.
And the smaller the particles, as greater the surface, and as greater the difference between the content of formaldehyde and 100%. And Staudinger had the idea these are long chains, mm-hmm, of CH2, OCH2, and so on,
mm-hmm,
and at the end, H and OH, the parts of water. And then he said, if that is right, one should break these long chains in small pieces of different length. And he had the idea with acetic acid anhydride, he could break this long chain. And as shorter the parts were, mm-hmm, as fewer molecules of formaldehyde were between the two parts of acetic anhydride. And then he said to me, now you take a big quantity of the polymer formaldehyde, you heat it with the acetic anhydride in the Brünnpor tubes to 200 degrees, and then it breaks, and then what's coming out is like a slurry.
Mm-hmm. What kind of tubes, excuse me? What did you call them?
The tubes which you can in an oven after having sealed the tube,
I see it.
To heat at high temperature.
Yes.
And then what comes out is something which is not solid and not liquid, but is all together.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has dozens of different kinds of molecules. And then my problem was to separate this complex mixture,
yes,
to real unique molecules.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it as a pedant with great enthusiasm, and really I could isolate pure, sharp, melting substances with one, the next two, and so on, until 22 groups of CH group between the end groups of acetic anhydride.
Mm-hmm.
And then the wonderful thing was, at the same time, he worked together with a mineralogist, and he made X-ray pictures and could see the length of the molecule, because they, like the paraffins, form sheet lattices.
Mm-hmm.
You could measure the lengths of all types of molecules.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in complete accordance with the number of CH2 groups I got out by chemical analysis.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am very proud to have given one of the most impressive points to Staudinger's idea by this separation of this breaking down particles of the polymer formaldehyde.
So he must have been very pleased.
He was very pleased. And he helped me in all my life.
You published this work in Naturwissenschaften. It was one of your earliest publications.
Yes, yes.
With Staudinger.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then you also habilitated.
Yes.
At the university you
Freiburg.
Started teaching.
Yes, yes.
What was your position then?
Staudinger was very pleased that I came on the idea of flow by referentials.
Mm-hmm.
And his teacher, Vorländer, was the physical chemist with whom Staudinger studied. He made the flow by referentials of low molecular weight materials as stearic acid, palmitic acid in solution or in molten.
Or liquid.
And he saw that as longer the molecules, as stronger the flow by reference. And then I said, Staudinger, if you are right, all your polystyrenes and cellulose derivatives and all should show streaming by refringes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I built an apparatus to measure that, and it was a second new proof of Staudinger's idea. And I was so lucky to have so many different materials for this investigation of flow by refringes, because Staudinger had 10 or 15 students each working on another sort of material, and I could get from all this work the material, and then this streaming by refringes apparatus in a very short time show a wonderful accordance with Staudinger's view. And then if other young people had the idea to habilitate, said, you must make like Signal, you must make him something new with the Barker molecules. So he was very pleased about
your work and your support of his theories.
And for that he was looking for the Rockefeller Fellowship for me.
I see, that's how you got it.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. Because he was then, that was 32, 33, so the fight, that was already in the period where the idea of macromolecules had good roots,
mm-hmm.
and all people not too close in the mind, so then that Staudinger was right.
Mm-hmm.
And in this connection, I will tell you about a discussion after a great lecture which Staudinger gave in Düsseldorf before the Gesellschaft Deutscher Naturforscher und Ärzte. They meet each year once, and one of the great scientists is called to give the main lecture. And those Staudinger, very enthusiastic, told of his idea of the great molecules. And then the old Willstätter was present and said, I am not absolutely convinced now that this idea of Staudinger is right. But if he is right, he opens to the organic chemistry a field which is much bigger than all the organic chemistry. No.
That's great. So
yes.
Willstätter said that?
Yes, yes, yes. In a time where most of the chemists were against this idea of chemistry.
Yeah, that was a lot of support,
yes,
for his,
yes.
At least he opened the door to,
yes,
acceptance,
yes,
of Staudinger's theories.
Yes.
What, do you remember what year that was approximately? In the early 30s?
That was between, let us say, 30 and 33.
Yes.
I cannot say,
yes,
directly the
year,
but it was in this period when I was not very long in Freiburg.
Mm-hmm. Because in 1933 you went to Uppsala?
Yes.
On,
yes,
your Rockefeller Fellowship?
Yes, yes, yes.
And wasn't Staudinger reluctant to let you go?
No, he knew that that was only for a short time,
mm-hmm.
And he said, I would like that you come back to Freiburg,
mm-hmm.
after this,
which you
event,
did,
which I did, yes.
So could you tell us a little bit about your work with T.
Swedberg, oh, that was,
which was of great influence on your own,
yes,
development,
yes.
As
it,
I
was a wonderful time. There existed only one ultracentrifuge in the world. That was Swedberg's in Uppsala. And there you met, when you came, people from all the world coming with special proteins to let them sediment in the ultracentrifuge to determine the molecular weight. So we had people from the States, from London, from everywhere. And this ultracentrifuge was used so intensively that at the beginning of the week, one of his assistants made the plan. Monday between 0 and 4 in the morning. That's for Victor McFarlane. From 4 to 8, the centrifuge is free for signal.
Yes.
And
uh-huh.
So all the, over the week.
They had to take turns.
Yes.
Did Linus Pauling come over with some proteins?
No, 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 no.
That was the time he worked on.
Came later.
Yes.
Swedberg with ultra centrifuge was perhaps a little bit in the time before.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
I see. So he got the Nobel Prize in 1926, so he already was very famous when,
yes,
you,
yes,
studied
he was,
with
he
him.
He got the Nobel Prize as a young man. I don't know exactly how old he was,
mm-hmm.
but not. I don't think he was 30.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, much of your work really centers on determining molecular weights of high polymers, and this is where you use the ultracentrifuge.
Yes, and the work in Uppsala was very hard, because when we came with our substances only soluble in organic solvents, mm-hmm. the ultracentrifuge could not be used because it was constructed for aqueous solutions.
I see. Why was that? Why was it difficult on an order of volatility?
The cell in which the solution is placed mm-hmm. is on both sides closed by quartz windows.
I see.
And you measure the sedimentation velocity mm-hmm. during the rotation of the rotor mm-hmm. 3,000 times a second mm-hmm. by getting through with ultraviolet light
yes.
through the quartz windows.
Yes.
But between the quartz windows and the middle part, in which in one section was the solution, was a very thin sheet of Indian rubber.
I see.
And
so that was attacked
yes.
by
so
I organic
solvents. So I came to Uppsala to construct a film which was insoluble in organic solvents, but had the mechanical properties mm-hmm. of a thin sheet of Indian mm-hmm. rubber. And for that, I could come back to the knowledge of Staudinger. I made a very thin film of polyacrylic acid with a plastifier of glycerine, and I made it in a big charlet
in a
dish over mercury by evaporating an aqueous solution of these two components, and then there were on the mercury at the end a wonderful equi-thick film of this new material mm-hmm. polyacrylic acid mm-hmm. Plastified to a wish degree with glycerine mm-hmm. and then there were made the small sheet which was put between the quartz window and the middle part, and that took 4 months until we could make the first measurements with our substances.
Oh, and you only had 6 months.
And
so
in 2 months we worked day and night.
I imagine
had all the details uh-huh. which in 3 publications are to be seen now.
On the birefringence. No,
that about the sedimentation.
Oh, the sedimentation,
three
yes.
works of the
yes.
sedimentation of the macromolecules.
Right.
And Friedberg was very pleased, and he said to me, no one of the many people who came to this place to use the ultracentrifuge were so quickly acquainted with all the details. I think I keep you here. Come to Uppsala and work with us for all your life.
And you didn't want to?
I preferred to go back to Staudinger, because one knew that in Sweden it was very difficult for a non-Swedish man to come in higher positions.
Yes,
they
I see.
They had a very good practice to look for their own people.
I see.
And Staudinger said me before, come back to Freiburg.
Uh-huh.
So it was clear that I came back to Freiburg. And there I had the idea of the string by refringence, and then Staudinger said, that's the way how people who should get the vineyard ascending must work. They must open something new. as Signer has made it.
Yes, that was a really demanding precedent.
Yes.
But then you went to Manchester first,
yes,
before you got back to Freiburg.
Yes, yes.
And you stayed 6 months in Manchester
with Brach. And there was one publication. Have you seen it? Quite another field. And I had my idea what I would do with Brach.
Mm-hmm.
But then the professor of physical chemistry in Freiburg, Herr Vichy, a very well-known man, mm-hmm, Nobel Prize man, said, if you go to another place, don't come with your ideas. Go and see what is done there and what you can learn there. And so it was clear for me that when I come to Manchester, I would see what Brach would propose to me to make.
Mm-hmm.
And then just at that time, a very important work of one of his students was finished about the heteropolyacids. And then Brach said, there are other heteropolyacids, and you could in this half year see whether they have an analogous structure. And perhaps I can point out quickly the publication and show you what came out. And there is in Manchester I had the chance to work in the field of heteropolyacids. A student of Professor Brach had just evaluated the constitution of this very complicated inorganic substances. And then we could see by Debye-Sherrill diagrams that other heteropolyacids had just the same structure.
Mm-hmm.
And here you see how the different heteropolyacids gave the Debye-Sherrill diagrams with practically exactly the same lines at the points with the same intensity.
Uh-huh.
So in a very short time of several months we could see that all these heteropolyacids have an analogous very complicated
mm-hmm
structure.
Mm-hmm.
So
this had an effect on your later approach when you also worked with X-ray analysis?
No, that was the own work in this field.
That has no bearing on the
bearing
molecular structure macromolecules.
No.
Because I noticed that
we were interested in the arrangement of molecules,
mm-hmm,
of chain molecules in solids.
In solids, yes.
And
yes,
that comes in another publication perhaps that is still the Rockefeller year.
Yes, let's talk about Brach. If you have, do you remember something interesting you could tell us?
That was very impressive. He was a Nobel Prize man, famous all over the world.
Are we talking about the younger Brach?
The younger Brach,
yes.
And when I came to his office, it was as he would greet a very old friend. Such a friendly atmosphere, by such important and all over the world well-known man, that was a very great impression. And the whole time when we were there, my wife and I, we always had this idea with these English people, you are like old friends.
And that's where you learned your excellent English. Yes. Was Crick there? Or was he
there later?
He wasn't there yet?
That was later.
I know Crick and Watson worked with Brack later, but I wondered if he was there already, or he was too young then.
Huh? Yes, yes. He came in the field of being seen when they, Watson and Crick, evaluated the double helix.
Right, but that was later. But I thought maybe he was a student there.
It was a colloquium of the Solvay Congress in Brussels, and I was invited. And then Brack greeted me and said, oh, the double helix was evaluated by the material you have isolated in Bern.
Wonderful. Yes. Your thymonucleic acid?
Yes, yes. I come back
We'll talk about that later. So that was later. When was the Solvay Congress you're talking about?
Was perhaps about 40.
I see.
Yes. And when I came to Bern, two years after my work, after I started my work in Bern, came a Swedish colleague, Kasparsson, and said his master, Hammarsten in Stockholm, had the idea that the molecular weight of the nucleic acid which Hammarsten and Kasparsson prepared could best be found out by flow by reference. And in half a day,
amazing,
Kasparsson and I knew the molecular weight, and the next day we wrote a small publication which is in
that's not the molecular shape and size of thymonucleic acid, or it's Signer, Kasparsson and Hammarsten in 1938.
Yes, that's number 27.
We have it. It was published in Nature.
That's it, yes.
Yes, thank you. Yes, see that. Not from polystyrene.
Strömungsdoppelbrechung verschiedenster.
Yeah, I think we're talking about the molecular shape and size of thymine effect in Nature.
Yes,
in 1938. So you consider this your most important publication?
Yes. From this time on, I saw that nucleic acid was one of the biological most important molecules. And then I let make two dissertations to improve the preparation of nucleic acid. And 8 years later, there was a symposium in London organized by the SIBA company in Basel. And I told about improvements of the preparation of nucleic acid. But not only I told about, I brought a bottle of this size of finely preparated nucleic acid. And I gave it to the director of the symposium, Dr. Butler, and he distributed the nucleic acid to different institutions. One part came to Cambridge, Doughty, who measured the light scattering, and one part came to Cambridge, where Watson and Crick, with a Bernays nucleic acid, evaluated the double helix.
Oh, I see. Well, that's wonderful.
Yes.
A wonderful aspect.
And then I was, as I heard later, proposed for the Nobel Prize. But it was not enough.
But you were nominated for
I heard that I was nominated. I don't know from which side. Staudinger, when he came to Bern, he always was interested in what I am doing. And he, to other pupils, said, Signal in Bern, he always makes new and other things. And that's my great fault. If I would have made only in one direction, it would have made perhaps more impression. And now I would show you the publication in which is seen how much we, by two theses, improved the isolation of native nucleic acid.